First up, we have a story about eavesdropping on some of the most chilling moments in a person's life. For this, we head up to Anacortes, Washington. The little coastal town has a vibrant and tight-knit independent music scene, and Carl Blau has long been close to the center of it. He's put out more than 30 albums over the last couple of decades. His latest project is actually a place, an all-ages music venue that grew into an online radio station called the Anacortes Music Channel. It was housed in a beautiful old downtown brick building.
The thing that's beautiful about the space is the tall ceilings. It's got almost 17-foot ceilings, and so it feels just really big.
The Anacortes Music Channel became a focal point for local musicians and fans in this little town long known more for its industrial past. And for Carl, it became a lifeline. But one night, all that changed.
On Tuesday the 8th of December, the night began with a Ben Starner piano performance, which was beautiful. I was here for the first hour of it. And we were airing this on the Anacortes Music Channel. And the place was just decked out. I mean, it was so ornate and beautiful. Jacques Moderet, who's a neighbor of the place, and he's this amazing artist, and had installed this Where the Wild Things Are-esque forest of plastic trees and silk flowers and Indonesian masks. And it was packed full of these beautiful trees, and we'd been doing these performances kind of in a forest. It was really fun. During the Ben Starner concert, I left to go do dishes and kind of clean up home like I do. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to come back, you know, as soon as the concert's over. Ben would perform and then he would just leave and lock the place.
Doug Cassidy, I'm from Anacortes. So I stayed home that night and I was listening to Ben play on the live stream. And just going about my business, doing this and that at home, and I start to hear the what sounds to me like raindrops. At first, I thought that Carl had brought a microphone outside and was pointing it at a bucket of water or something like that. And
was that something he would do?
Yeah, and everyone I've told the story to at this point, they say, "Oh, well, yeah, of course, that's Carl would do that, sure." And so, you know, after a couple minutes of this, I started getting a weird feeling about it, and the drops started getting louder and louder, and I started thinking that they didn't really sound like raindrops anymore. Now they started to sound like something popping. It wasn't really like a campfire, because it was just more like pop, 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 pop.
You know, driving up on the scene, I just immediately knew something was horribly wrong, because the glass was black, couldn't see into the room at all. Usually you can see, at least see in, and it was just this total other feeling walking up to it, like it was a different dimension. And it took me a couple moments to just suddenly realize the reality that it was actually full of smoke. When I came into the room, you know, this plastic forest was melted and the place was just thick with black smoke. I don't remember exactly the smell, just a really plasticky smell, and my inside of my nose was just caked.
Right about the time where I started thinking something was wrong down there, I hear the door open and I hear Carl shout something as he comes in the door and into the flaming building.
It was really horrific to watch this kind of paradise of my mind be just engulfed and feel so helpless. My instinct was to try to tackle the fire, which was in the back corner there. And it was, I could see the carpet was really a main source of the flames. And I attempted to drag the carpet out, which the piano was on top of. And in some kind of Herculean moment, I pulled the carpet so hard the piano actually fell back. Onto the microphones that were recording. One of them cut out, I guess, and then one of them kept broadcasting the situation. And then I was like coughing and I realized that there was just nothing I could do. And and also realize I did not have my cell phone with me. One of the strange, rare moments that I decided not to, you know, have a cell phone with me. And there's no one around down here. It's just, it's dead.
You know, I had the phone in my hand kind of already at that point. And so I called 911 then and then headed down here.
Then I realized at that moment that Rick and Bev are upstairs. And, you know, and then that suddenly occurred to me that I don't know how fast this can go up. Then next thing I was like, oh my God, I gotta get this guy out. And I ended up smashing the window with my elbow and breaking into their apartment and screaming as I'm running up the stairs. And then I couldn't do really much else but just kind of stand outside and kind of freak out and just wonder why it's taking so long for the fire department to show up when it was probably like 2 minutes or something. I don't know how long.
What was it like to hear, overhear this very scary moment for your friend on the internet?
Well, it was just the feeling of knowing something was wrong and then having it confirmed. That was the scary part, was that at first I thought it was Carl messing around, and then it turns out to be our fun all-ages space getting burned down. And just right at the moment when Carl walked in and shouted something, I was just really kind of devastated for our scene, because, you know, we had a great thing going for almost a year of really awesome shows and jams, and, you know, it was heartbreaking.
The hardest thing for me is that I lost 20 years of magnetic tapes that I'd been working on things for the years. I mean, just hundreds of tapes. It was a real blow to me. Like, it was depressing, of course. And I thought, well, I can just keep feeling depressed, or I can, you know, I have spent a year working on other people's things, using all my extra energy to float this space. So I was like, yeah, I'm gonna take all of these ideas, you know, that are on my phone or whatever, and just start working them out. And so I've been doing that, yeah, and I'm like 10 songs deep into that. The process has really been to mine emotions of loss, and but the hope is kind of pulling me through creating these songs. The hope that was sort of instilled by the community and the support. I don't know, I didn't see this coming, that it would be such a rally. You know, there were a lot of Seattle and Northwest support, and friends and supporters in Anacortes too raised, I don't know, like $25,000 or something for my loss, which, yeah, that's pretty incredible. I listened back to that footage one time late at night, as a kind of a self-dare. I was like, can you do it? And I probably shouldn't have done it right before bed, because it was, yeah, I don't probably never want to do that again, at least not for the whole thing. It really it got under my skin. It took me back when I saw this paradise of a room just black with smoke. I think something just flipped inside of me that yeah, when I listened back to the tapes, I felt like I still was holding on to it. Like I haven't really dealt with it. I think now it would be a little easier. I think I've been processing enough with writing music and thinking about it and talking to people about it and stuff, that it's probably easier now.
That was Anacortes musician Carl Blau and his friend Doug Cassidy. They spoke with sound effect producer Ali Ferguson. Officials still don't know what exactly caused the fire, but the space has been refurbished now, and it's home to longtime Anacortes record store, The Business. The Anacortes Music Channel is homeless for the time being, but still supporting local music.